How is it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I'm your host, Matthew Morgan. And there's loads of stuff to talk about today as far as football and politics go. So we'll just hop into to some football, I suppose, off the rip here. Like I said, there will be politics later. So if you're not a fan of the football, just bear with me for a little bit, okay? Please, I'd appreciate it. Yeah, but so I wanted to talk about off the rip here. I wanted to talk about Cam Scadaboo. I wanted to make sure his first name was Cam. Cam Scadaboo, the running back for the Giants. He's probably one of my, if not my favorite running back in the NFL right now. I do like Kenneth Walker a lot too, but he's kind of lost snaps to Charbonnet, so that's rough. But he's like, because he's injury prone. But long story short, it's better for him in the long term if he splits snaps with Zach Charbonnet. He's injury prone otherwise. But Cam Scadaboo leads all of his, like, if you ever watch him play, he leads every time somebody tries to tackle him, he leads every single hit with his head, which I didn't even think was legal anymore. I'm pretty sure that's called spearing, like using your helmet as a weapon. But he doesn't. I mean, works for him, I suppose. He's speed running CTE, as far as I'm concerned. Jackson Dart does the same thing, though. Like, every time he scrambles, you'll see him, like, lower his head to, like, prepare for the, like, everybody lowers their head. I don't want to say that, because, you protect the football, and you do that by, like, covering it up, and you, like, lower your head and bring your arms up, But, they straight up, like, will lead with their head. The head is the first point of contact every time they're trying to, that somebody's trying to bring them down. And that's not good for your head, as one might suspect. I mean, I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Concussion. Great movie. I suggest you watch it. I couldn't tell you any of the actors in it. I'll be 100 with you. But, essentially, yeah, sorry, my head broke for a second. But yeah, Concussion, great movie. They, essentially, it was before the NFL knew what concussions were, and then some doctor, I'm sure he's got a real name because it's a real story, but I don't know his name. But he essentially found out that, I guess the theory was Rams headbutt each other all the time and they're fine, so we could headbutt each other all the time and we'd be fine, but we found out that our brain doesn't fit perfectly in our head and it kind of rattles around, so every time you make a hit, you're like slamming your brain against the wall of your skull, and that's a concussion. I guess. I'm sure I'm not exactly getting it right, but I'm, close enough, I assume. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how long he's going to be a good running back, because he's going to end up with some kind of, like, leading. I mean, he's talked about how he's trying to get away from the contact seeking, but, like, leading every hit with your head, you're going to be, I mean, he's not young. I mean, he's not old, but he's not the, I mean, I think he's, like, 25 or something, because I think he was one of the COVID running backs. 23, which is still, I mean, most people come into the NFL at 21, so 22 at the latest, so 23 is rough, but, I mean, he's, he's young, so he'll be fine for now, but I think that, give it a couple years, and repetitive leading hits with your head is not good for your health, so I hope he figures that out sooner rather than later for his sake. Same with Jackson Dart. Like I said, he leads a lot of his sacks and hits when he scrambles with his head, which is terrible. Don't, especially as a quarterback, you do not want to leave. You are the most important position on the field. People don't want you getting hurt. You don't want to lead with your helmet. Terrible. Terrible choices. This is not the different thing, but Tua, after the loss to the Chargers, he said, the quote is, "I think it starts with the leadership and helping articulate that for the guys and what we're expecting out of the guys, right? We're expecting this, we're getting that, we're not getting that. We're expecting this, we are getting that, we're not getting that. We have guys show, I assume it's like, we're expecting this, we're getting that, we're not getting that." So I assume that's how he's saying it. I didn't see the clip. But we have guys showing up to player-only meetings late, guys not showing up to player-only meetings. And he said there's a lot that goes into that. It's a lot of the nature, you know, so on and so forth. But Tua didn't even play good in the game. He threw, I have a stat line here, 205 yards, 1 TD, 3 interceptions. Bad stat line. Also, Dez Bryant, former All-Pro wide receiver for Cowboys, I do believe, says that he thinks that they should start Quinn Ewers, which I personally have been saying all year. I think it's Quinn Ewers' season. I don't think Quinn Ewers is better than Tua by any means, but I think Tua is injury-prone and has poor decision-making, and I think that Quinn Ewers is probably the better option for at least now. I think they should bring somebody in next year to compete with Quinn Ewers, and I think they should trade away Tua should anybody want him, but he's injury-prone. So, you know, I don't think you're going to get anything incredible out of him. He's probably going to end up being a backup quarterback if I had to take my guess. Which I would take Tua as a backup quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He just makes bonehead reads sometimes. But Dez Bryant said that this is his quote for as far as that goes. I want to know what part of this he's going to take accountability for. Tua threw 3 picks today. Tua is 3rd in the NFL with most interceptions thrown by a quarterback. If you haven't said this privately first, then in the media, I don't respect it. And since we're on the topic of respect, I guarantee a lot of the players don't respect Tua. Tua points the finger and literally has 4 pointing back at him. If you want to win, put Ewers in. By the way, Tua has apologized for saying the whole thing about players not going to team meetings and what they were expecting, you know, things like that. But, I don't know. Also, they didn't say who it was. It just says former Miami wide receiver. But a former Miami wide receiver said that that Tua was talking about how people don't show up to team meetings and show up late to team meetings. And he said that when he was at Miami, there were many times when Tua showed up late or didn't show up to team meetings. So, I guess, you know, Tua's a hypocrite, according to that guy. But I'm a big fan of putting Ewers in. Quinn Ewers season, as I said. They have Zach Wilson, but I would not put Zach Wilson in. I mean, the Jets benched Zach Wilson when I don't remember what his game was or his stat line, but Zach Wilson's first season at the Jets, I do believe it was his first season because I think that was his only season, he had a terrible game, and the defense played well, and it was a low-scoring game, and they asked him in the post-game press conference, essentially, if he was at fault at all for the Jets' loss. And he said, no, nope, not me. And then he got benched, which is valid. I mean, he didn't play good. The defense played incredibly. All it took was one more touchdown, you could have drove down. I don't remember what the scoreline was, but a touchdown would have won the game for him. I remember that much. So, like, he could have definitely played better. He just didn't take any responsibility for it, and they benched him because that's not what leaders do. And Tua just did the same thing, and he got all kinds of flack for it. And speaking of flack, Joe Flacco loves playing with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. For those of you who don't know, Joe Flacco got traded to the Bengals and is starting over Jake Browning now, and he is absolutely loving playing with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Joe Flacco's first game as the Bengals quarterback was his most productive of the season. He didn't throw a pick, and he had thrown a pick at least one every game of the year. I think he was like 2 for 6 on the year or something. So, I mean, he played great. Great's arguable. He had his best game of the season. That's the best way to put it. T. Higgins also had his most productive game of the season. So, if that tells you anything. And he even said, he being Joe Flacco, said, I came over to the sideline a couple of times and was telling I came over to the sideline a couple of times, and I was telling Jake, like, just the way they plucked the ball out of the air. And then he proceeded to talk about, like, he talked about a pass play in which he threw the ball to Ja'Marr Chase, and it was a bad spiral, and it was, like, not exactly where he wanted the ball to place, and he was just like, man. And then Ja'Marr Chase just, you know, grabbed it with both hands anyways, and he talked about one time with T. Higgins, I think on a slant or something. So he was real happy to be playing with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, which I would be too if I were him. I went from the Browns to the Bengals. Your receiving core just got four times better. I don't care. That's an upgrade. By the way, speaking of, the Bengals just beat the, because the Bengals played on Thursday night. Also, the Packers did beat the Bengals, but Joe Burrow had a decent game, Joe Flacco, 29 for 45, 219 and two touchdowns. Best game of the season for Joe Flacco by far. Good on the Packers for winning, but it was a rough game. They did not play as well as I would have hoped, but the Bengals did come back the next week on Thursday, and beat the Steelers 31-33. So, I mean, that's a good game. And this time, Aaron Rodgers, 23 for 34, 249, four touchdowns, two interceptions. And Joe Flacco played incredibly, 31 for 47, 342 yards and three touchdowns. So, Joe Flacco has found himself in a wonderful situation to be in up to this point. He's got upgraded receivers. His line is probably better. His running backs are better, in my opinion. Well, I don't know, actually. That's debatable. Speaking of the running backs, though, 11 for 108. That's 9.8 yards on average. That's crazy carries. So, I mean, the Bengals, if you're a Bengals fan, you should be feeling pretty good about yourself right about now. If you're a Steelers fan, you lost to the Bengals. You should not feel good. You should not feel good about yourself. But you're the Steelers. You probably expect to go, you know, 8-7 every year. Oh, I guess you can't do that anymore, can you? Because it's a 17-week. Or 18 weeks, it was always 17. Cause, anyways, you probably used to going, 9-8? Yeah. Probably used to going 9-8. But, anyways, 50-50 is a rough season to have for the Steelers every year, but they do it. Speaking of, Steelers 4-2 right now. They're on the track to half and half. Bengals are 3-4. So Joe Flacco playing great at the Bengals. Also speaking of the I think I wrote down the wrong team here. But according to Derek Carr's brother, I wrote down Browns. I'm pretty sure it's the Bengals. Derek Carr's brother, yes. Okay. Yeah, Derek Carr sounds open to NFL return as he turns down the Bengals for one reason. So I don't know what the one reason is. I have no real interest in, I guess, reading this whole article. So, yeah, I mean, okay, well, I found the quote. So, I guess my understanding is just that he wants to play the full season, and there's a feeling that maybe Joe Burrow might come back at some point this year. He doesn't want to play for a team in which he might get benched, apparently, which is fair enough. I wouldn't want to come out of retirement just to get benched either, but that's, you know, eh. So, yeah. Derek Carr was, yes. The Bengals were trying to get Derek Carr on the roster, which I think would have been a fantastic move for them. I think Derek Carr would have been a better move than Joe Flacco, even. I think Derek Carr was, unfortunately, on the Raiders his entire career, which, you know, if you know anything about Al Davis was not a good GM. He had a whole bunch of old players on this team because he believed in, like, I don't know, apparently he felt that he could, like, fix everybody. I don't know. He'd get a whole bunch of the old big-name players and then think of, oh, if I can just get them to play in their prime, we'll be built. But they can never play in their prime because they're old. It does matter in the NFL if you're old, unfortunately. It's not like a lot of things. There are always people who are going to be younger, faster, and stronger than you. You just can't keep up at some point. So, unfortunate. But, alright, so that is it for the football, I do believe. So, yeah, I mean, if you have anything to say about any of that, feel free to call in at 740-383-9944. Scataboo and Jackson Dart leading any hit with their head, because I don't know why, they just, I guess they do. Tua, by the way, speaking of one last thing, I guess, speaking of Tua, Mike McDaniels is on the hot seat, so at the end of this year, there's a fair chance that the Dolphins are going to have a new head coach. I support the decision to fire Mike McDaniels. I would have fired him at the end of last year. I would not have given him another year. So, I would be glad if they fired him. But I also think they should fire the GM. I don't think the GM's all that good. I would do a cleaning house. I'd sell the fire the coordinators, the coach, the GM, and I'd start anew. You know, sometimes you just gotta. But, yeah, so Mike McDaniels might be gone, and if Mike McDaniels is gone, then I don't know who's going to be the coach. But that'll be interesting to find out should Mike McDaniels get, well, fired. Also, Dable, also on the hot seat, the Giants head coach. Yeah, so I'd also be all right with him getting fired. I don't think he's all that great a head coach. Jackson Dart got hurt and went into the concussion tent. Okay, and Dable saw, I don't know how many plays it was, but he saw Russell Wilson throw a pass, and then he went and proceeded to yell at the team doctor to get, I don't know what the words exactly were, I can't read lips that well, but he went and yelled at the team doctor, and then like two plays later, Jackson Dart was back out on the field. So, I don't think he really has his players' best interest at heart, which is unfortunate. I think that you should probably have your players' best, the most valuable asset to your team. So I would figure that at the very least, that's why you should have their interest at heart. But I think that's it for football. So with that being said, there are a couple things as far as politics. Donald Trump has said that if Hamas doesn't stop attacking rival factions in Palestine, attack. And he said, if Hamas continues to kill people in Gaza, which was not the deal, we will have no choice but to go in and kill them all. Thank you for your attention to this matter. I don't know that that's the best way to handle that. I think that's an interesting kind of quote there. So, I don't know what you do about that. But I think it's a little interesting. I don't know. I just couldn't imagine any other president saying that, you know, that we could go in there and kill them all. That's absurd to me. But, you know, I guess it's just another Trumpism, I suppose. But yeah. So I mean, for those of you who don't know, I guess the deal he's referring to is there is an Israel and Palestine ceasefire. It's not a peace deal, I don't think. Ceasefire. Israel was supposed to get their hostages back. Obviously, it's a ceasefire, so Israel's supposed to stop firing, and Hamas is supposed to stop firing, and I guess get any hostages back. I don't know if Israel has hostages. But, I forgot where I was going with that. Yeah, Israel has said that Gaza, I guess, is taking too long releasing the hostages or something like that. I don't know. But, so they've halved the amount of humanitarian aid, I think is the right term, humanitarian aid into Gaza than was supposed to be according to the deal. But I don't know how that whole thing is playing out. And also, I'm not sure what caused Hamas to attack all these rival factions within Gaza. I mean, I guess that just because they're rival factions, I really couldn't tell you. But, yeah, so I guess the peace deal happened, and now Hamas is trying to allegedly, I guess, I don't know, I'm not there, I don't think nationalize is the word. They're trying to consolidate power. That's the right term. So they're trying to, I guess, get rid of all the opposition. Which is rough. I mean, that's not exactly what you want, but I guess you also don't want the president of the United States saying that if Hamas continues to kill people, we'll have to go in there and kill them all. I don't know. I that's rough. I don't know that that's how the president should be speaking, but you'll have that, I suppose, from time to time. Duolingo's very upset with me because I haven't done my German lesson for today. so I just saw that on my home screen. I have the thing, widget, and there's the bird that's angry. But, yes. So, there's that. We are now on day 17 of the government shutdown. This is the, yes, third longest shutdown in history. I don't know what the other two in front of them are, but I know that so this is the third, so under Donald Trump, and I don't remember what the other one was, but I know the longest one was also under Trump in his first presidency. And this one shows no sign of going anywhere. And I don't really know who's winning this. I don't know that the Democrats are winning, but I don't know that they're necessarily losing. I don't really know. I don't know. I know who I blame for the government shutdown, but I don't know. I just don't know what the average person thinks about the government shutdown, I suppose. Or who they blame. Now, I will say that, like, Mike Johnson has, you know, he went on to, I don't know, some talk show, I don't remember which one, and said that the Democrats are only trying to get health care for undocumented immigrants, which is not true. The Democrats are trying to, I guess, get health care brought back for the people who got it cut after the Big Beautiful Bill. So there's that. I don't know. I don't think it's all that hard to disprove what Mike Johnson has said. So I don't know why he says it. Maybe people just take it at its face value, I suppose. But it would seem, I don't know. I think if you looked into it, it's just it doesn't hold all that much weight. So, there's that. Like I said, I don't know if I actually did say it. But they had a 10th vote to fund the government and, you know, reopen it. And it also failed. I'm not sure what the vote was, but I assume it's the same as it was before. Marjorie Taylor Greene's voting with the Democrats. John Fetterman. I don't have the other three names. I can't think of them. But there are two Democrats and an independent who are voting alongside the Republicans. I think they just want the government open back up. That's what all they've all said, basically, is just we don't want the government shut down. We feel it's necessary to keep it open. So they've been voting A on both bills, or A as in, you know, yes, on both bills. So I think that's interesting. But I think it's rather interesting that Marjorie Taylor Greene has turned against, turned against to some extent at least, the Republican Party. You know, she's a big Trump person, and to go after the Republicans for the government shutdown is, that's rough. I don't know what Marjorie Taylor Greene is feeling, I guess, as far as the pressure from her constituents, but she's certainly swapped her stance, I guess, on that. So, there's not going to be a vote. Well, there wasn't a vote today, is my understanding. They aren't in on the weekends, I understand. So, I guess the next vote will be Monday. Or at least I don't think they're in on weekends, because I was reading and it said that he was I can't think of the guy's name, but he sent them home for the week. Yeah. Also, the Armed Services Chair said that that the White House let them know. The Armed Services Chair says the agency that manages the nuclear stockpile could see deep staff cuts. You know, per the White House. up to 80% of the staff is gone. So, I mean, I don't know how important this really is, because I don't know, I mean, they're nukes. I'd assume keeping them maintained is pretty important. But, I mean, obviously nuclear warfare isn't anything that's hopefully going to happen in any near future. So, I don't think that that's the worst thing. But, I mean, I don't know exactly what's in the... Like, I know we have nuclear weapons, obviously, but I don't know if they have, like... Because I know we have nuclear submarines, and I know we have, like, nuclear-powered boats and things of the sort. So if they also manage all of that, 80% is pretty rough. They're also... The White House is also planning mass layoffs in the Interior Department, despite court orders. I don't know... I think the fact that the president disobeys court orders is mind-boggling to me. I never figured I'd see a day where the president just disregards what the courts tell him to do. So that's, you know, no good. Well, if you have anything to say or add to this conversation, or anything at all, you don't even have to add to the conversation. You can talk about anything. 740-383-9944. But, yeah, so lots of layoffs are coming out. There is a union that is suing the... there are actually two unions, I do believe. They're both... one is the... I don't remember the names, but one of them is the union of, government... of federal government employees, and the other one is the union of state government employees. So they're both suing Donald Trump on the grounds that I think they're using the Hatch Law is what it's referred to as, because I guess they're saying that Donald Trump is only firing these people out of political retribution. And I guess essentially that they're trying to scapegoat the Democrats. I guess. So, they have sued to stop that, which is actually, I do believe, the what the court orders are for was because of the lawsuit there that was active. But, the White House, so they, I guess, went on and did it anyways, or I guess in the process of doing it. But yeah, the unions are arguing that Donald Trump is furloughing, Democratic appointees and hirees, I suppose, because of, political retribution, and that's in violation of the Hatch Law, or the Hatch Act is called. The Hatch Act of 1939 is an act to prevent pernicious political activities and, it's a federal law that prohibits civil service employees in the executive branch of the federal government, except the president and the vice president, from engaging in some forms of political activity. Limits certain political activities of federal employees and some state employees. Who work on federally funded programs aiming to ensure partisan neutrality and protect employees from political coercion. So, I mean, I'm not gonna read the whole set of rules there. They have, like, a whole set of rules, but... So I guess they're using the Hatch Act saying that it's political coercion because, I guess that they're saying that it's a political activity because he's firing Democrats. I suppose. I don't know who actually does the firing, but I assume it has to come down from Donald Trump. I could be wrong, though. Tomorrow, the second No Kings protest takes place. I'm not sure if you recall, but there have been now, I think, two No Kings protests. This will be the third one. If I recall correctly, this might be the second one, but I do believe there have been three. At the very least, we've had three protests in town. So, there's that. Or this will be the third, I guess. But yes. So, The No King protest takes place tomorrow. I mean, they've grown in numbers every protest, so I've heard. I mean, I haven't gone to any of the protests. They're always while I'm at work. But, I mean, should they keep growing in numbers, I think that's probably is concerning to, well, the White House, Congress, anybody who's in an elected position that's currently in the majority, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I think that definitely you're expressing your discontent when you have protests. I mean, that's a protest. But I don't know that they really do anything. There's no real, I mean, protests don't have any real authority, I suppose. There's just, like, essentially a threat of, like, do this or I'm not gonna vote for you again. Which, I don't know, like I said, I don't know that that's... I mean, I assume that it works to some extent, but I don't know. Like I said, we've had three now. Well, two, I guess, I think. And, you know, I think it's they've only done more things that make people upset. So, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. But yeah, so, and, by the way, Speaker Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, you know, I think he's from Louisiana, by the way, which I find fascinating, because what's in Louisiana? Like, I don't really think there's anything in Louisiana. I could be completely wrong. I'm sure there's something in Louisiana. I mean, I know they have, like, the Saints, and they have, like, the Ragin' Cajuns, but, like, I don't know. That's just a me thing, I guess. I don't know what's up with Louisiana. But anyways, Mike Johnson, I do believe he's from Louisiana, like I said, described the protest, the No Kings protest, as the Hate America rally, and he said it would draw the pro-Hamas wing and the Antifa people. Representative Tom Emmer, Republican out of Minnesota, I do believe that is, told reporters that the Democrats had caved to the, quote, terrorist wing of their party. He also referred to it as a Hate America rally, in D.C. next week. So, I mean, they're certainly nervous about, I mean, it's, they were talking about it last week. To talk about the rally 2 weeks before the rally happens, I mean, it's obviously on your mind. You have to be concerned about it to some extent, otherwise you wouldn't talk about it. If you weren't concerned about it, you would just let it go, because it's not going to do anything. They seem to be concerned about it, so that's interesting. They seem to think it has some kind of power. And you know, a good portion of people who are upset do not protest. So, I mean, I think if you see people growing and if protest numbers grow every time there's a protest, I'd assume you could almost scale that. I don't know how to scale it. I don't know what the percentages would be, but I'm sure you could scale it. So there are, I assume, a lot of unhappy people. I haven't even seen a lot of, around election time, we had a lot of Trump people who would drive around with the Trump flags. I think I've seen maybe one or two vehicles with Trump flags. I hardly see Trump stickers. I haven't seen a Make America Great Again hat in a long time. I think that is rather interesting. But nobody really seems to be upset about anything. So there's that, too. By the way, Tim Ryan, still not sure if he's going to get into the race as far as the Ohio gubernatorial race goes. Still looking like it's going to be Amy Acton versus Vivek Ramaswamy. There seems to be some consensus that Vivek Ramaswamy's name is going to give him a hard time in the politics, which I don't know. He might, but I don't know. I have a hard time believing that his name is going to get him caught up. I mean, could it be true? I guess. Maybe. But I don't know. I mean, you know, like I said earlier, the man was born in the United States. He's just as much American as, you know, any of us are. By the way, during break, I was reading more about the Blystone thing, because I just thought that was fascinating. I forgot Blystone existed, I'm not going to lie to you. Blystone says that he thinks that Vivek is an opportunist, a political opportunist. One second. Well, I mean, there are quotes here, like, well, just one question, Vivek Ramaswamy. Were you wrong on your stance? Conservatives will not follow the establishment. I don't know exactly what that's about, so I'd have to look at I assume it's a post. Where did I find the quote? But he said that he thinks that, that anyway, I don't know. I can't find it without. I can't multitask. So he essentially said that he thinks that Vivek has had a liberal voting history and is only voting only has his America First stance now, due to, you know, political, gosh, I can't think of the political opportunism. So, I don't think that most people aren't opportunistic when it comes to politics. I think if you kind of do that. So, opportunities are always a good thing to have. So I don't know why it's. I don't know why it's necessarily a bad thing, so long as he's not lying, I guess. But I guess, obviously, Blystone thinks he's lying. So, I wonder why Blystone moved out of the state, by the way. I think that's interesting. How are you going to run for governor and then move out of the state? Obviously, you don't like Ohio that much. Yep, I don't know. I can't look for it. So, but yeah. That's interesting. If you have anything to say, by the way, we only have about 10 minutes left here in the show, so now would be a good time to call. 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say about anything at all that we've talked about here tonight, even, feel free to call in. Like I said, 740-383-9944. I think the governor's race is going to be interesting this year. I do think that Tim Ryan wants to get in, but I think he'd hate to lose to Amy Acton. It would be embarrassing. I mean, he's the only candidate with political experience. Should he lose the primary to Amy Acton, I think it would be brutal for him. And so there's that. I can imagine that. But at the same time, like I said, he's the only one that has political experience. And the polls between him and Amy Acton are winning all the polls, but she's also the only one that's actually announced she's running. So it's something like 3 to 4% point difference between Amy Acton and Tim Ryan, and I think that should Tim Ryan actually get in the race and start campaigning, that gap could close pretty quickly. Now, I don't know exactly why Amy Acton's got the support that she does. I mean, she has broken the Democratic fundraising record, so that's good. Good for her. Set by Strickland, by the way, a governor that did win, which, interesting. So, I don't know. I just think I don't know. I figure that if you were going to run for governor, you ought to have political experience, and nobody does. And I do think, like I said, Tim Ryan wants to get in, but I think the shutdown is making it difficult for him because he feels like he's going to get swept away in the news of the shutdown, so I think he wants it to end. But I think that it's a way. See, now it's a like now I feel like he's playing chicken almost. It's who gives in first. So I think that should the shutdown go on long enough, he'll either have to take the hit and announce that he's running in the midst of it, or just not run, because I think if he waits too long, he's waited too long. I mean, like I, you know, just I guess in the description said. I think if you get in with not enough time left, obviously there's a problem there, because I mean, you need time to run and fundraise, and you have to run a primary if you get in, because you're against Amy Acton, who's already been fundraising, and she's broken the fundraising records, and it'd be a rough race to get in late. So that's a rough choice for Tim Ryan. But like I said, only one with political experience, so he could probably make it work. Also, Amy Acton came on here today. That was good. I thought she did well. I think I gave her a bit of a hard time after the actual interview, but I do think she did well. I think she answered questions better than Vivek, for the sheer fact that I don't really feel Vivek answered anything besides the direct question about Lake Ohio. Other than that, I think he danced around questions, which is typical of politicians, I suppose. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that... well, Vivek was also busy. I assume Acton was also busy, but Vivek, I think, was doing, like, on the way to town or something. I don't remember. But, yeah. So... there is that. I don't know. I think that... well, also, it wasn't really an interview. So, I did kind of... I mean, there is that. It was more of, like, a promo for the interview that's coming up on Tuesday, the League of Women Voters Candidates Night. So, that's always good. By the way, there's that Tuesday, the League of Women Voters, League of Women Voters Candidates Night starts at 7:15. I will be doing a pre-show, only 15 minutes with, myself, obviously, Terry Tackett and Linda Sims, should they be there. After that, there will be a post-show. I do believe it's 9:30 to 10. If I recall correctly, and then 10:15, or 10 to 10:15. Yeah. But Amy Acton's on after the at like 10 o'clock. So listen after the candidates' night. You won't want to miss it. That's gonna be a good interview. I think that she'll actually. I mean, so long as she actually explains her point of view, I suppose, in that interview, I'd be happy with it. The only reason I was critical of this one, like I said, is I didn't feel she explained her views, but she did answer the questions, but like I said, it wasn't really an interview to get her to explain her views. It was more of a, she's already here, ask her about some current topics, and promo the actual interview for Tuesday, which I guess makes more sense that way. So... yeah, be sure to tune in for that. Well, if you have anything to say, now is probably going to be your, well, last chance, 4.5 minutes to go in the show. 740-383-9944. I'm kind of hoping Tim Ryan gets into the race personally. I'm a big fan of voting for people who know what they're doing, and you can't vote for somebody who knows what they're doing if nobody knows what they're doing, and nobody knows what they're doing. Amy Acton, no political experience, besides, I guess, the whole thing with I don't know what her title was, so there's that. But her whole job during COVID, there's that. She had that. Vivek Ramaswamy, no political experience except, not even political. I mean, he ran for president, I guess. You could count that. But he has run a billion-dollar business, I guess he is a billionaire himself, is my understanding. So, Big Pharma, though. I'm not, see, I don't know about all that. I'm not necessarily a fan of Big Pharma, I guess, but that's just me being me as a partial conspiracy. I don't even know why. I just sketched about healthcare. But, Big Pharma, I do believe is his business. He was a pharmaceutical guy. So no political experience there. Heather Hill, I was not there for the interview with Heather Hill. I do not know much about Heather Hill, but I don't believe she has any political experience. So if she does, forgive me for that, but, I do not believe she does. So the only person in the race who has political experience was Tim Ryan. I was kind of hoping that the race was going to end up like Frank LaRose versus Tim Ryan, or like, I don't know, Dave Yost versus Tim Ryan. I was hoping Sherrod Brown would get into the governor's race. I think that would have been, he certainly had experience, but then, you know, again, I was hoping experience would reign supreme, but doesn't seem to work that way anymore, I guess, which is unfortunate. But, yeah, so, it's been an interesting night. You know, good shows, I think. Scataboo is gonna have CTE, unfortunately. I say that half-jokingly, because I hope he, obviously, you don't hope CTE on anybody, that's god-awful. But, at the same time, he does lead every hit with his head, as does Jackson Dart. You know, I think that's rough. Tua should get benched for Quinn Ewers, in my opinion. Big fan of that. I agree with Dez Bryant. Joe Flacco's going crazy at the Bengals. That's always good. He loves playing with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Who wouldn't? They tried to go after Derek Carr, but Derek Carr felt that he was going to get benched halfway through the season, so he said no. The Trump quote, if Hamas continues to kill people in Gaza, which was not the deal, we will have no choice but to go in and kill them all. Thank you for your attention to this matter. What a quote from the President of the United States. 10th vote failed for the government shutdown, so, 10 times, the government's still not reopened. Mass layoffs in the Interior Department and the Nuclear Stockpile Management. I don't know what agency that is, but there's that. No King's protest tomorrow, and then, you know, that's that. So, that's always good. I think, like I said, the gubernatorial election is going to be good. And don't miss Tuesday night. 7:15, we'll be live. Exclusively here, live here, only here, for the League of Women's Candidates Night, and Marion. We're going, I don't know how many people will be there, but, it'll be interesting. So, keep tuned for that. Well, in the last 10 seconds, I would like to, thank everybody for listening, as always. I hope everybody has a wonderful night. Stay safe, stay warm, and, good night.
You're listening to The Talking Place.